The Word of God, which is the basis for our consideration this morning, is recorded in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 5th chapter, beginning at verse 18. And we also add to the text as printed in the bulletin, verse 21. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is our text. If you have noted the images on the cover of the worship folder for this week, and you can certainly take a look at those now, you see there the body and the blood of our Lord in his supper. You see baptism, the sacrament in which we are made partakers of Jesus' suffering and death, as St. Paul tells us, especially in Romans chapter 6. You see our Lord on the cross, which is illustrated above that by the sacrificial lamb and a snake on a pole. That last image, of course, is from the time in the wilderness when the Israelites were stricken with poisonous serpents after a time of complaining against God. Sure would be nice to be back in Egypt. And its meaning is spelled out by our Lord, according to the evangelist John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is, on a tree, the cross. And it's from that that Jesus goes on with those words we know so well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then also there on that cover is Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, who also was called priest, offering sacrifices for the people. And of course, all of this comes together in the common theme behind all of this, the bloody sacrifice, the payment for sins in blood. The images all, of course, point directly to the cross of our Lord's suffering. And furthermore, behind those images, behind the image of the lamb is the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, who, as the Israelites were preparing to flee from their captivity and bondage in Egypt, were to kill a lamb and paint its blood on the doorpost so that they would be passed over by the angel of death sent to afflict the Egyptians. Connected to the lamb, of course, in our minds may very well be the sacrificial goats of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement of Leviticus 16. One of those goats was to be sacrificed for sin, for a sin offering. The other was a scapegoat on whom was to be laid all the sins of the Israelites, and the scapegoat was then sent out into the wilderness to die. All of these proclaim the atonement or the reconciliation. Atonement and reconciliation are at the heart of it. As all students from Introduction to Christianity must know, the word atonement was reportedly coined by the Bible translator William Tyndale in the 1520s when he came to that word in the Hebrew, which ordinarily might have been translated reconcile in English. He found reconcile lacking since it did not get at the idea of covering sin, especially with a blood payment, in order to achieve this reconciliation. So he simply coined a word, at one, atone, or atonement, at one-ment. Now, in our text, the Apostle Paul speaks very pointedly about this reconciliation, this blood payment pictured in Exodus in the Passover and in Yom Kippur. In the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And finally, which is made real, no longer just a figure, in the bloody cross of Golgotha. This is the sacrifice that is more real than all of the blood of bulls and goats offered in sacrifice through the centuries, indeed through the millennia. It is in this act of the Son of God, true God and true man, that all of the sins of all men forever were paid for, they were atoned for, they were expiated. And the God in that bloody sacrifice covers over all sin. He pardons it. He puts it away, covers it up. He reconciles all people to himself. The work is all done by God himself. No man except the man Christ Jesus, who was God from eternity, begotten of the Father, has a part to play in this reconciliation. What this act means is that God and man are now at one. The separation which occurred because of man's disobedience is paid for. It's atoned for. God no longer is imputing their sins to them. That is, he no longer charges their crimes to their accounts. They have been charged against Christ Jesus, and he is the one who has suffered the penalty for them. He himself is the sacrifice, and he is the priest, the sacrificer. Now, what this means is that where I was the sinner, God's Son has become the sinner. St. Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us in our places. He writes almost the same thing in his letter to the Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And all of that goes back, of course, to the prophecy of Isaiah. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God's Son became the curse. He's the scapegoat, cursed to wander in the wilderness until he dies. He becomes the focus of all of God's anger over all sin. He becomes sin itself in order to bear the wrath that was owed to me. He's crucified in the midst of criminals like me in his death. He has paid a price that is immense and incalculable. We could more easily count all of the grains of sand on all of the beaches of the world and at the bottom of the oceans before we could even come close to understanding how great a price this is that he has paid for us. It is truly at one-ment. God and sinners reconciled, we sing at Christmas. And that wonderful phrase rings in our ears all of the way from Christmas to Easter and beyond. So Paul can describe its result. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. That's at-one-ment. That's atonement. That's reconciliation. He has made you and me one with God, reconciled with him, changed to be at peace with him. St. Paul speaks here also as an apostle and says that he and his fellows have been made ambassadors for Christ to speak on his behalf. And what they have been commissioned to proclaim in their apostolic office is God's declaration for all time. This reconciliation, this forgiveness of sins, nothing else is a fit subject for that proclamation. God has reconciled you to himself. You are no longer his enemy. You are one with him. He makes you to be one with him through baptism. He proclaims it to you in the forgiveness of sins and the absolution. He gives you the same body and blood which were given up on the cross for your sins, and he upholds you day in and day out with that blessed promise of the gospel. O Jesus Christ, who didst for all our sins atone, have mercy on us, Jesus. Amen.